Thank you very much. Indeed, victory belongs to God. Victory belongs to Him. He's the only one that gives victory.
Amen.
He's our sufficient God, and there is nothing that He, God, cannot do. The Bible says that many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all. Many are the affliction. I've heard people said, a righteous, you know, should not have affliction, should not have trial. The Bible says even a righteous, many are the affliction. He didn't say little. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, what the goodness is that God deliver him out of them all. I want us to just take a pattern. I want us to pray this morning. We're going to pray and say, the Lord, everything that look like affliction, everything that look like affliction, that look like trouble, that look, oh God, like pain, Lord, deliver me out of them all. Shall we pray? And many are the affliction of the righteous, but he said, the Lord deliver him out of them all. Anything that look like affliction, that look like sorrow, that look like bitterness, oh God, anything that look like pain, anything that is bitter, that is not sweet, deliver me out of them all. Deliver my lineage, my family, oh God, out of them all. In the name of Jesus. Let us pray to him. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want us to please take this prayer very seriously. I don't know why I have this leading. Just take a partner. The Bible says, if two of us are agreed together as touching anything here or not, it shall be done. If two people can agree together, I want you to just take a partner and say, Lord, in the life of this person, in the life of this brother, in the life of this mommy, in the life of this daughter, everything that looks like affliction, Lord, join your hands with somebody and say, Lord, whatever that has a resemblance of affliction, whatever that has a resemblance of sorrow, whatever that is, oh God, Lord, deliver him. Deliver him out of them all. In the name of Jesus, deliver him, oh God. Deliver her, oh God of the heaven. Whatsoever that is going on in the life of this person, I don't know it, but you, God, know it. Jehovah, deliver, deliver in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Be magnified, oh Lord. You are highly exalted. Choir. I'm rich, nothing you can do. Oh. I rather on you be magnified, oh Lord, be magnified,
be magnified, Lord,
be magnified, oh Lord.
They are passing through issues of hurricane that our brother said, Hurricane Florence. I want us to remember them in prayer. I want us to ask the Lord God Almighty to intervene. I want us to decree and declare, let there be peace. Let the peace of God reign upon whatever that is happening in Carolina. Shall we just begin to decree? Lord, oh you Hurricane Florence, we decree that you bow in the name of Jesus. Let there be peace. Peace for the people of God Over there are a lot of people who are Christian. Like our brother has given testimony. He has family there. Quite a lot of people. Let us pray, Lord, let the peace of God reign. Lord, let there be peace. Let hurricane Florence cease in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Our Father, we want to thank you this morning for the privilege of coming before you. We thank you for what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have been doing in our lives, individually and collectively. We thank you, Jehovah Nissi, because you have not allowed the enemy to rejoice over us. Our Father, we thank you. The Bible says, even though many are the affliction of the righteous, but you are always delivering him out of them all. So we thank you for the record of testimony of deliverances every now and then. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your church this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you are here to do. Thank you for we have come here not to see any man. Lord, you are the only God we have come to see. This morning, oh God, we plead that you are going to bless us in the name of Jesus. We ask this morning, oh God, that Lord, you will help us. You will change our life for better. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. King of glory, I ask you to use, oh God, my voice called Jehovah Nissi, and speak your word, that your people might be blessed, that your name alone might be glorified, and the enemy, oh God, will be terrified. Thank you for your answer. We give you glory and honor forever. Blessed be your holy name. For I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, I want to say good morning. I want to thank God for what God is doing in us of glory. One thing is sure. I said it the other day. Somewhere I said, I don't know where I get these feelings from. I had this very strong feeling that is always very strong. Impress upon my heart that God is doing something, cooking something in this house. God is doing great. God is, I know many of us, my mommy, my daddy, and everybody that are here, we know we have seen things. We know how great, how mighty, how wonderful God is. This God is not what human can, we can't bottle him. He can do whatever that we cannot just imagine. God is more than able to do great, mighty, wonderful things in our lives. That is an assurance. I'm a young man, but under heaven, I've seen God. I've seen God doing great, wonderful, marvelous things in my life and even the life of the people. And I want us to, this morning, I know, like I said, I'm a young man, can't really speak, and I don't even know how to speak. I don't know how to preach. But what I want us to do, I know all of us came this morning with the intention that probably the pastor is not here. But I'm here, just accept whatever God wants to use this little boy to say this morning. Just accept it in good faith in Jesus' name. This morning, God has given me a message. I already had a message. Because of my study, I had a message. And when I was told, I said, okay, I was going to hand one of those messages. But early in the morning, I was just praying and whatever. And the Lord just said, that one is your message. I said, wow, what's happening? And God gave me a message. And I don't know why, but I have a believer in me. If God has given a message. In fact, when fresh anointing was on, oh my goodness, mommy was preaching my message. We went to Sunday school. Wow, God. So I have a believer that is so strong in my heart this morning that this message is from God. And I don't know who God might be talking to. Of course, I know God is talking to me. Amen. Now, this morning, I want to speak briefly on what the Lord I have tied to, that will be done. And I want to take my text this morning from Matthew 6, 6 to 10, and Matthew 21. Please, you have to help us so that we can just speed up a little. Matthew, let's read Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Okay, Matthew 6 from verse 6 we start. Let's just read a few verses. 6. He said, "But thou, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in the secret shall reward thee openly." Okay. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He said, the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, it means the will of God, you know, is in order in place in heaven. But the prayer is this, that the will of God should be also be done, so that the same thing that happens there should also do or happen here. Amen. Let's read Matthew 21. Matthew 21 from verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, "Son, go walk today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, "I go, sir." And went not. I want us to, and went not. Whether of them twins did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publican and the harlot believed him. And ye, when ye have seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our heart. I believe very well that we follow what I read there, and what we're actually going to do a justice to. Like I said, the title is "That Will Be Done," is the very question that Jesus asked them. This is a very simple parable. Jesus gave them a parable. And he said, a man has two sons. He said to the first one, "Go and walk today in my vineyard." And that one said, "No, I won't go." Am I right? Are we together? Church, are we together? And he said, "No." The father now had to go to the second one and he said, "Son, will you go and walk today in my vineyard?" That one said, "Yes, sir." That one was very smart. The Bible says, the first one that said he will not go, later repented and he went. But if one that say, "Yes, sir, my father, I'm going to do it." You know, he has created an impression in the heart of his father that he's going to do it. The Bible says he refused to do it. Jesus now asked a question. He said, out of the two of them, which one did the will of his father? And that is what we are addressing. Now, when I was growing up as a teenager, I know very well, and some of us who are my mommy and my daddy will understand what I'm saying. What I'm talking about, I don't know. I just say, "God, why this? It is not conventional." I don't know. I say, "Is it even for American church? God, have mercy this morning." Now, when I was growing up, like I said, the order of the will of God, the will of God was an issue that was well invoked. When you are growing up, we are taught that in anything you need to want to do, it is important for you to know what is the will of God about that thing. We are told that when you know the will of God, knowing the will of God is like, you know, it's all about life and destiny. We had that understanding even I was a teenager. In everything, I remember very well, when I wanted to go to university, we had to pray. If you want to marry, you have to pray and pray to know what is the will of God. If you want to go to school, we are taught that even going to the very school you need to go, you need to seek the face of God in the closet to know the very school. There are so many schools anywhere. It is not just to just pick one school. Even if the very course you need to do, you need to pray and actually know what course exactly, what is God saying concerning you. They made us to realize that we are not, if we have given our life to Christ indeed, we don't longer belong to ourselves. We now belong to somebody, our God, our Maker. We are not responsive to Him. So we are not that free in such a way that we just feel we can do anything, we can take decision anyhow, without seeking the consent of God. That what does God have to say concerning this issue? Hallelujah. So what am I trying to say is this. See, and this thing is a scriptural thing. It is very scriptural. Now let me say this, because there are a lot of issues. For example, in the Bible, the issue of who to marry and where to marry from was established. Can we remember that Abraham compelled his servant? Abraham compelled his servant and he said, now I am getting older. You need to, my son Isaac will have to be married with time. Vow, swear that I want you to go and marry. That you will not go, you will not marry for my son where I am. He said, go, you have to go back to where I came from, my country. I'm on my land. That is where I have inquired of the Lord that I should marry. Abraham, you know, he made his servant to swear. In other words, it means, see, this is one of the, getting married to who or where or whatever is one of the issues of life and destiny. Because decisions that we take, often at times, in some of the issues that we are going to be mentioning this morning, it will determine how far we can go. As far as life is concerned. Amen. Now, let me quickly run through a few things. You know, that was in Genesis 24 that we know. We also remember Samson. Samson disobeyed. In his own case, you know, Samson disobeyed, you know, his own father. Just like that son did. Samson disobeyed his own father, his parents. He said, this is where I want you to marry. Samson came to them. He said, I have discovered a lady, a damsel, beautiful, fine. The parents said, we don't want that. This is where you actually want you to marry. And he said, no, that's what I wanted to do. Of course, we all are aware. We know the repercussion that happened to him in Judges chapter 14. Some other thing is this. Hoshea was asked in the book of Hoshea chapter 1. You know, remember that Hoshea was asked. See, when I saw this and the Lord brought this to my mind, to my mouth this early morning, and I said, see, decisions are not, there is nothing like a collective decision when it comes to, you know, taking a decision of life and destiny. Hoshea was asked by God to go and marry a prostitute. Hoshea was asked to go and marry a prostitute. That was God speaking to him. I know somebody will be saying, are you saying, I don't know, this is Old Testament, people of God, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, anything can happen anywhere. Let's leave it for God, amen. Now, Joseph was also compared by God. When brother Joseph and sister Mary were already going out, and possibly they started counseling in church, and all of a sudden, sister Mary just, what is happening? Brother Joseph said, we've not been married. Definitely pastor will not join us together. I will just use idea. The Bible says, he said, I will use diplomacy to just sneak out and leave her. But Bible said, the angel of the Lord said, the Lord came and spoke to Joseph, don't do it. This thing that is in our belly is of the Lord. Hallelujah. So what am I trying to say is, God in his own plan, whatever God is saying to A cannot be applied to B. Whatever God is saying to me concerning an issue, if I need to get a critical decision, that has to do with my life and my destiny. You cannot take the very decision I took and say, you, everybody, every individual, want to inquire of the Lord. What is God saying concerning this? Amen. Amen. Now, like I said, you know, despite what happened to Mary in Matthew 1. Now, there is issue of cost to study, like I said earlier, and where to school. Where to reside, city and country. It is also important where to reside, a city to stay. It's not just a matter of, you know, we are no longer who we used to be. The idea is this: if we claim that we are 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are not a new creature. It is not, there is no line. We don't have to draw line. Draw line that these are the things I can talk to, I can inquire of the Lord about, and these are the ones that I'm on my own. All it's all about. I shouldn't fornicate. I shouldn't smoke. No. We belong to Him absolutely. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we have to reside, the city to say, the country. You know, baby Jesus was also asked by the Lord to be taken abroad. Somebody will say Jesus was taken to Egypt. Is he abroad? Yes, sir. It is abroad. Yes, ma'am. It's abroad. Jesus was asked to be taken to, if you like, Nigeria. He was taken from his own country to abroad. Hallelujah. So Jesus was taken to abroad. And later, when the time came, the Bible says the same God went to him and said, go back to where you are taken from. The same God who said, okay, I leave where you are at the moment and go. Do we remember that God at the same time spoke to Abraham in Genesis? He said, get out. Get out from your lineage. Get out from your kindred. Get out from your country. So traveling abroad is scriptural. Traveling abroad is right. Traveling abroad is godly. I agree with that, excellency. But at the same time, do you know that a lot of people, by the virtue that they got visa on their passport to travel abroad, has scattered their destiny for life? Do you agree with me? The fact that me and you are here, we came abroad, whatever, does not mean everybody has to travel abroad. Everybody has to live abroad. Somebody will say, now he can say that because it's not in America. So why won't he say, but the fact is this, God, you know, so even where to, the very country to go is also important. There are people, I've heard of an individual who was in a place, you know, he was in a country, and he was in a country, and all of a sudden, he inquired, he was living there for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you know, for about 5 years, nothing was happening. And he said he was led of God to go into fasting and pray. And he prayed, and God said, relocate from that city. He went from that place to a neighboring community, which is all like, I don't know how many miles away. And the same thing, the same business they've been doing, that he's been clamoring, he's been struggling, within 3 months, what he couldn't get in 5 years, he was able to record it. God is able to do all things in the name of Jesus. So people of God, you know, there's something I saw when I was looking at the issue of Abraham, that he took Lot when he was going. The Bible says he took Lot. Did God instructed him to go with Lot? God did not instruct him. Sometimes when we are inquiring things from the Lord, we want to know what exactly is we. It is always good for us to get to know it to the letter. What exactly? He just felt, what is wrong in that? I am moving to America. I need to move my nephew now, move my brother, move my sister. It was the same. All of us know what became of Lot on the long run. At the time, you know, the Bible says him, his servant and the servant of Abraham, went on to, you know, start having problems. If it's in our day, Abraham will be so stressed. Oh my God, what happened and all that? Maybe we'll develop high blood pressure or whatever. You understand? But so whenever we are inquiring anything of the Lord, we should be very specific and know what exactly is the Lord saying. I also remember that God spoke to disciples of Jesus Christ somewhere. In Acts chapter 1, he was telling them, he said, they should stay here. Wait here. In my Bible, you know, I've always thought wait. But I saw in my Bible, he said, they should wait here in Jerusalem. They should wait in Jerusalem until, for the purpose of people who may be writing. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. to 5 and 8 and verse 8. In verse 4 to 5, he said they should tarry in Jerusalem. They should wait in there until the promise of the Father. There is always a place to wait. There is a place of waiting. There is a place of waiting in bringing about the promise of God. There is a place of waiting. It's so unfortunate that I belong to a dead generation. A generation that wants it now. If it does not happen now, that means God is not alive. No, it's not. Jesus told them when he was going, I am sending the Holy Spirit. It's the promise of the Father. That is what is going to give you power. That is the essence of Christianity. If this Holy Spirit don't, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, nothing. This Christian, this thing I've come to preach has no value, has no at all. But for you to receive the promise, wait. And he mentioned a particular city. Stay in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem. That is where I want you to stay. And as they waited, when you go to verse 8, the Bible says the power came. In chapter 2, you know, he told them in chapter 7, he said, you won't be able to be my witnesses. You see, after man, the Holy Spirit, what did he put it? He said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, please. Quickly give me. Yes. He said, we receive power after with the Holy Ghost. So that when that Holy Spirit that he has promised come, that is when you will have power. That is when you'll be able to actually do, he said, you shall be witnesses. That's even when you're able to witness in Jerusalem. That's when you'll be able to witness in Judea or any open. Without the Holy Spirit, without that promise, without that power, if you don't wait to receive it, when often a time God promise, give us promise, and we want to see it to come. If he hasn't come in 1 year, if he hasn't come in 2 years, oh my God, my generation is the very jet generation. You want it? There is always a time of waiting. If God will bring the power, if God will cause us to fulfill it, to do it, that promise, that thing that, no. God is not, he's not a man. He cannot lie. If he has promised, he will do it. If he has promised, if there's anything that God has spoken to us in the closet, let us judge him faithfully. This God cannot fail. This God has never failed before. If people like, I said it the other day. I said people like Reverend Dr. E. Adeboye, as a teenager, that was what I knew that Pastor E. the Daddy Gio, that's what I knew him to be. He was, those of us who have been in redeemed for ages, Reverend Dr. E. Adeboye, he has master in thermodynamics and he has PhD in applied mathematics. As a young child, I was in another denomination. You know, he said all of a sudden, if I was as a young boy, I read that news, all of a sudden he just came up, he said, the Reverend Dr. E. Adeboye, he said, somebody who his intention was to become the youngest vice chancellor. His intention, his dream, as of that time, he was flying like a jet. He wanted to be the youngest vice chancellor. All of a sudden, he just came and he said, that Reverend Dr. E. Adeboye is dead. You now have Pastor E. Adeboye. He said, that was what the Lord spoke to him anyway. So that is not saying that all the truth, but that was, and immediately he took that. I don't know where Daddy Gio got that kind of encounter from. Immediately he did that to one another. All of a sudden, everything just changed. That was what God spoke to him as a person. Today, now when they say Reverend Dr. E. Adeboye, people don't understand. Is it true? Go and Google it. If you want to read the story, I'm even telling you, he must be there. There's nothing I cannot see in the Google. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there are a lot of issues, you know, when it comes to critical issues of life. We need to wait for Rema. We need to wait for Rema. What food to eat is part of it. Yes, when we were sitting there, they taught us the very food to eat. And we can inquire of God. If we go tell us, this is what you see, this is what you need to eat. God is doing it because of the love he has for us. You see, the challenge that we, the Christian of our days, of my days, my generation have is it, we think we love ourselves more than God. Oh, I love myself more than God. That's our intention. Ladies and gentlemen, if I ask you, I give you a pleasure, I say, write your plans, your agenda, what you want for yourself, if I give it and I collect it, I will tell you, bully, that you don't love yourself in any way. God loves us more than how much we love ourselves. God has, he said, 3 John 3, he said, I wish above all things that we prosper. If God is telling us, do this thing this way, do it that way, do it this way, it's not because he loves us so much. He does not want us to take decisions, you know, that's going to wreck our life, our future, our destiny. People of God, most of us, yes, one time or the other, we are taking some decisions, critical life decisions, that we just feed them anyhow. And I know for sure, sometimes some repercussion may come as a result, of which you know. But the idea, when I was praying and God was giving me, why is it that we don't learn from mistakes? Why is it that we don't even learn? When something has happened before, you took that decision anyhow. You took it on your own. You didn't inquire of him. And you suffer it a little. And this same God still stabilized you. When you are faced with other issues of life, he has forgotten you. He has believed that, okay, that was all in the past. But when we are faced with other issues of life, sensitive issue of life and destiny, what do we do? Do we still not learn from what has happened before? There are records and issues of things you see in the Bible. Sometimes you wonder, you know, something bad was prophesied, and God spoke to the mother. He said, no strong wine, don't drink strong wine when you are pregnant. He said, you should not eat anything unclean. And he specifically said, Samson, don't allow razor to enter into the head of Samson. On the long run, when Samson did the wrong thing, he did what the Lord did not want him to do. That was what actually ended his life, his destiny. May our life and destiny not end in peril in Jesus' name. Elijah was sent to a particular woman. Elijah would have been sent to a lot of women. But specifically, Elijah was sent on Elijah, a woman of Sarephath. It's not other woman, a widow for that matter. This is the person I'm sending you to. Hallelujah. And I wouldn't want us to undermine who potential. Let me read my note to you. Don't undermine who potential and background of the assignment given to you by God. Because Naaman was instructed by Elisha to bathe in Jordan 7 times. And he said, come on. What is the meaning of all that? What is the meaning of that nonsense? Me to go to Jordan and bathe 7 times? If I want to bathe, I want to swim. Are there no big? But you know what the Bible says? The servant. I don't want to bore us. Maybe in that is in 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 8. And the Bible says, the servant now went to him and he said, Master, if the prophet had told you to do a bigger thing, wouldn't you have done it? He has to bring 100 rams or this and that bullock. Won't you? But the prophet has asked you and said, just go and swim. It is too minor, too simple to ever believe. It is too to ever believe that how can me that came all the way and I came here, someone else said I should go and swim 7 times. He listened, he inclined his head to the instruction, to the advice of the servant. Even though it was the servant of Naaman that delivered Naaman. Naaman would have allowed his pride. He would have just continued in disease for life. But this, as a servant, I believe that the servant spoke to him, counseled him, he obeyed. People of God, that reminds me, that's a place of instruction, counseling in issues of life, decisions of life. It is important. A place of counseling is important. The idea, the guy that we write, the father, you know, because father have different types. We have our physical father, we have our earthly father, we have the spiritual father. There's a cover, like we are in the church as a father. And the ultimate of all is who? The everlasting father. So whatever Jesus, the parable that Jesus was talking about, he's actually talking about When he says Father, he's trying to, could be the Father, our earthly Father, it could be our spiritual Father, you know, it will at the same time be what? Our heavenly Father. Above all, it is important for us to inquire of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jonah was sent an error and honor. So, let's read John chapter 8, 29. Let's just leave some things out of this. John 8, 29. Okay, it's an. Jesus said, he said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. The essence of this is when we do his will to the letter, he will always be with us. He won't leave us alone. He won't allow us to be on our own. The Bible, Jesus said, for I do, why? Why? He said, for I do always those things that please him. Ha! Those days were something else. If you want to wear a shoe, you'll be going because you've been taught. You will go, you wear the shoe, you are going out. And they want you to. You will just feel that, man, God didn't ask me to wear this shoe. I'm the one that just feel like wearing it. It has as that. That you have to look at your wardrobe and inquire of God the specific clothing to wear. You know what? What we do, the disobedient, like there's a difference between, because, and that's what happened. God speaking, God giving instruction, and we disobey him. One. This is another one. God is not talking to you. Now, if I want to, like, go and get a, let me say I want to go and buy something. I want to buy a car. It's possible for God not to tell me to go and buy a car. But it's me that will just say, I want to go and buy a car. And I might decide not to even bother and talk to anybody about it. Maybe me and my family just decide I want to buy a car. But do you know that it is scriptural that will go to him and ask him, God, what kind of car? It is like that. Praise the Lord. I know most of praise the Lord. Most of my mommy and my daddy who have been, you know. So what are we saying, people of God? According to what we read in that text, Jesus was given and he said to them, he said, this man had two sons. The first one, he asked him to go. He said he was going to do it. He said, okay, he specifically, he gave, he said, go and walk, son, to walk today in my vineyard. And he answered, I will not. Please give us that so that we can see it. He said, verse 28. And he said, son, God addressed him as son because he is the Father. God is the creator. He's our creator. But you know, there are situations, conditions that God addressed. When it comes to where we read earlier, when he saw thy will be done, he said, when you want to pray, I was looking and said, he didn't even say, when you want to pray, say, our God who art in heaven. The language changed. He said, our Father. Oh. Because when we want to pray, it is now a matter of Father to something. And in most cases, when Jesus was talking in the Bible, he said, if you that are evil, you know how to give, you know, if you that are even Father. When it comes to prayer, asking and inquiring, it is no longer God to create us. It is now Father to Son. Because in prayer, that is when things, there's an exchange. We have come, you know, because the idea is this. He's in heaven, of course, thank God that he's in heaven. But we need to come into that reality of the Father, change our relationship. It is just like a Father want to give. This God is, the Bible says, if God can, if it's possible for him, he didn't spare his son, he gave his son to us freely. What is it that God cannot give us? He specifically said, son, go. He prescribed, give the prescription. Our Father has given the prescription. How do you want things to be done? Go. Walk. What do you want him to go and do? And he said, when? When did he say he should go and do the work? When? Praise the Lord. When did he say she go and do the work? Hello, sir.
Hello, ma.
I didn't see now in my Bible. Amen. Amen. He said she go and work today. 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 Hallelujah. He said she go and work today. Today in his vineyard. Amen. I want us to believe that in all things, we need to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. People of God, there are so many things in life that God has tried us with. So many things that God has tempted. See, when God is asking, I have heard this again and again about, and we learn it in our Sunday school today. And we learn it in our Sunday school today about Abraham, that God asked him for son, his son. Mm-mm. God do not need, God didn't need Abraham's son. He didn't need it. Let us put, see, God did not need Abraham's son at all. The Bible says God wants to tempt him. Those things we are holding on to, our time, our money, our life, our children, our that we are holding tight. God don't really, he don't need them. God don't really need them. He doesn't really need them. He's just totally trying us. And the idea is this, whatever we do each time, either we pass or fail, will determine how far. Anyone who fail will repeat. Anyone that pass will be promoted. If God wants our money, can we give God money? Mm-mm. If God needs our food, he will go and hire the best restaurant. All he wants from us is his will. His absolute will be done in our lives. His absolute will be done in our family. His absolute will be done in every decision that we take. That as long as we abide, we allow God, we walk with him in taking decisions, critical decisions of life and destiny, it shall be well with us. The Bible says if you are willing and obedient, if we are willing and we obedient, we are going to eat the fruit of the land. May the Lord bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? I want us to just talk to God this morning. So many things that God has tended us with, and how well did we manage them? So many things that God has tempted us with, how well did you manage them? How well? This kind of a message is not for American kind of church, but God has actually asked me, and I say, if I refuse, then what's the essence? Is it the law over all of our lives? Are there things we find difficult to surrender or let go? God needs people that will praise him. But do you still know that God can as well raise children from the stone? Every opportunity that God has given to us should not be frustrated. Let us fulfill our responsibility, our ministry, despite the calling. Let us do exactly what he desires and he wants us to do. I want us to talk to God this morning. Say, Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. Oh God.
Let us ask.